Oasis. Let's all stand up together.
Oh Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Oh Lord my God, in you I put my hope. Oh Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Oh Lord my God, in you I put my hope. In you, I find my peace. In you, I find my strength. And in you, I live and move and breathe. Let everything I say and do. Founded by my faith in you, I lift up holy hands and sing. Let the praises ring. Oh Lord my God, to you I give my hands. Oh Lord my God, to you I give my. Oh Lord my God, to you I give my everything, take all I have. Oh Lord my God, to you I give my life. In you I find my peace. And in you. Let everything I say and do be blinded by my faith in you. I lift up holy hands and sing. Let the praises ring.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Good evening. Just to let you know, we have two announcements for you this evening. Thanks to all of your generous donations, the summer materials for Children's Church have been ordered and are displayed in the foyer. Beginning June 3rd, we will be using the new materials, and the children will be meeting in the large hall for music and prayer led by Nicole Everly and Pam. If you are interested in staffing any classes, please see John L. And tomorrow morning, Pastor Paul's class, the Bible survey class, is starting up until he leaves for Haiti. And that's it. Have a good night.
Let's all stand up together. We're going to continue our worship tonight. We're really glad you came out. Every week we do this at 7 o'clock. We call it Oasis because it's a place for us to come and get away from all the stuff in life. The truth is that if you are a human being, then you've got stuff. You've got stuff going on in your heart. You've got stuff going on in your home and in your mind. And we need to get away from that. We need to come and just lay it down at the feet of Jesus Christ and ask Him to meet us where we're at. Us and help us take the next step in our spiritual walk.
To the cross I look, to the cross I cling, of its suffering I do dream, of its work I do see. For on it my Savior was bruised and crushed, that in God is love, in God is just. At the cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees. I am lost for words, so lost in love, I'm sweetly broken. broken, wholly surrendered. What a priceless gift, an undeserved life, have I been given in Christ crucified. You brought me out of death, you brought me into life, and I was under your wrath. Now through the cross I'm reconciled. Ooh. At the cross you beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. At the cross draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered, and on the cross I must confess how wondrous your redeeming love, and how great is your faithfulness. I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. The cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees. I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered.
This next song is called The Saving One, and it talks about what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, what mercy was revealed with selflessness and peace. My fate was surely sealed until he rescued me. And that's what our message tonight is about, God's selflessness and how that applies to our lives. So let's sing this together. Mercy was revealed with selflessness and peace. My fate was surely sealed until he rescued me. His pardon for my sin, his bounty for my need, his slavery and shame, I am redeemed. And heaven can't contain glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love is made a way, the grave is overcome. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one.
No fear can hold me down, darkness steal my joy. The blood has been poured out, the enemy destroyed. Death could not hold him down, the cross was not enough to steal away his love. For he is God.
Heaven can't contain the glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love is made a way, the grave is overcome. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one.
contain the glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love is made a way. Christ, the saving one.
Dear God, we praise you, Lord. Thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, for the sins of everyone here tonight, for the sins of the world, Lord. Jesus, we pray that you would meet with us tonight, that we would open our hearts, our minds. Lord, I pray that we would just lay everything that we are, everything that we have down in front of you and offer it as an offering, because you are worthy, Lord. God, I pray that our lives would glorify you, that this music would glorify you, that tonight you would be pleased and you would meet with us and you would speak with us. In Jesus' name.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. For creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. All creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Yeah. years and years and years to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
How's everyone doing tonight? Good. I'm really glad that each and every one of you came out tonight to be a part of what's going on Saturday nights. It's a special time for me, and I pray that it's a special time for you. We work really hard to make sure that this is an inviting place for you to come and meet with God and have a relationship with Him and meet with other people and continue to grow in your spiritual growth. So I'm thrilled that you're here, and I pray that tonight will be a valuable night for you. Tonight we're going to be looking at some scripture. If I can find my slides here. There we go. Technology, it's a blessing and a curse, right? But before we get into our scripture, I'm going to ask you a question. Who knows what Memorial Day is for? Xenia, go ahead. I can't hear. I got to come down here. That's right. To pay our respects for those who have gone on before. It's a day of commemoration, for remembering. It's a day of remembering the death of American soldiers in all the wars. It started out as a day to remember the death of the soldiers who died on the Union side of the Civil War, but then by the 20th century, they went ahead and expanded it to those that had died in all wars. And you know, commemoration, the idea of commemoration is an important idea. At this time of year, I often wonder, you know, Memorial Day, we always have the flags and the kind of heart-thumping just videos and stuff of soldiers that have passed, and it always makes me wonder, would I be willing to make that kind of sacrifice for my country, right? Would I be willing to make that kind of sacrifice for my country? I'd like to think so. Have you guys ever wondered that? Kind of been there, you know? Maybe playing Call of Duty or something like that. You're like, would I have what it takes, you know? I do have a confession to make. I am a crier. Do we have any other criers here? Okay, right? I cried. I'm so bad, and Steve's like laughing at me because Steve's a man's man, right? I actually cried watching Mythbusters today. Just a little bit. It wasn't like a whole bunch of like boohoo. I'm not talking about like I need tissues and stuff. It's just like a little like allergy in the eye, maybe a little bit of, you know. And it was stupid. It was this thing, you know, Jamie and the other guy, the Heidemann, Jamie and what's the other guy's name? Adam. There you go. Thank you. Jamie and Adam. They actually go meet the president, and you know the president says, "I just want to thank you for encouraging the students and the young people of America to that science and math is cool, and encouraging them to go into those fields." And Jamie, like, he gets a little choked up. He's like, "Thank you, Mr. President," you know, and everything. And I was like, that's such a cool moment, you know? Like, regardless of what your political persuasion is, to have, like, the commander-in-chief of your country say thank you for what you're doing, that's a cool moment. And we have these kind of moments. This emotion gets particularly strong in me when I watch war movies. Okay, you ever watch a war movie? You know, and it's like these guys, you like, you get attached to them, and then this horrible thing happens, and one of the guys has to make this sacrifice, and he's gonna like stay with the thing, you know, and he's gonna jump on the bomb, and he's like, "Go save yourselves! I got this! I'm gonna take care of it." And he makes this decision to sacrifice himself, and I bet I'm not the only one that kind of gets emotionally charged in these type of scenes. You guys know what I'm talking about? You've been there, you watch that movie, and you're like, "Oh my gosh," you know, and it's like, you know, your eyes start to water a little bit, and you're like, "I swear, it's allergies," you know? But I bet you feel that way sometimes, too. It's no surprise, then, that in John chapter 15, which we're going to look at tonight, if you have your Bible, you can turn to John chapter 15. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you can just keep going until you get to chapter 15. I'll tell you the page number when I get there. John 15, if you're in the ESV, it's on page number 902. And it's no surprise that this scripture is in here, because we have this shared experience of of watching someone make an ultimate sacrifice of their life, and that kind of touches us emotionally in our heart. And the passage says, we're going to look at verse number 12 of John chapter 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one, or has someone than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. What Jesus is saying is the greatest love, the greatest expression of love is to lay down your life for your friends. So next time you get choked up thinking about these things or those who died for our country tomorrow, you know, on Memorial Day, it's because their sacrifice was an expression of the greatest love. That's why it touches us there in our heart. Because we think of those guys when we look at Arlington National Cemetery and the wall, you know, the war memorial, and we think each one of those guys died for my freedom. And that chokes us up. It's probably getting to you right now just thinking of that. And the reason is because Jesus said that that is the greatest expression of love in all the world, all the universe, the greatest love. There's no greater expression of love than to lay down your life for a friend. And tonight I want to submit to you guys. I want to pound this into your heart and into your head, and I want you to take this and kind of think about it all week long. Great love requires great sacrifice. Great love requires great sacrifice. So next time you're in an emotionally charged situation, right? How many of you have ever been in an emotionally charged conversation with someone? Anyone? Yeah. Okay. And how many of you have ever either said or heard this phrase, "You don't love me," right? Anybody? Yeah, you've been there. Someone told that to you, right? "You don't love me," right? We're not going to name names, okay? Because who knows who it was, right? You know, this happens all the time in parent-child relationships, husband-wife relationships. "You don't love me. You don't care about me." What do they really say? What are they really saying? What does that mean? That means, where is your sacrifice? Where is your sacrifice? When they're saying emotionally, "You don't love me," what they're really saying is, "I do not see you making a sacrifice for me. I do not see you making a sacrifice for me." Where is your sacrifice? Because this love and sacrifice thing goes hand in hand. Jesus says the greatest love, the greatest expression of love is to make the ultimate sacrifice of your life for another person. So if there's no sacrifice, then how much love is there really? I love coffee, right? Okay, and you guys are thinking, "No, you don't love coffee. You just like coffee passed around because love is a very strong word." You know, no, I love coffee, okay? We're redefining love tonight, okay? Love is making sacrifices, okay? I just got this new thing called an AeroPress, okay? Any of you ever hear of an AeroPress other than from me? Pastor Joe, he's like, I introduced Pastor Joe to the AeroPress. It's this awesome thing made by this engineer at one of these like MIT or Stanford or something like this. And this guy found a new way of brewing coffee, okay? And it's all the rage on coffeegeeks.com. You know, there's like, it's awesome. It's this like round cylinder, and it's made out of shatterproof plastic. And you have this paper filter that you put in the cap on the bottom, and you screw that in, and then you put the coffee grounds on top, you know, it's around like about that big. And then you pour hot water in, you set it on top of your cup, you pour hot water in, and you stir it around for about 10 seconds. Then you take this other cylinder that's about a little bit smaller, and it has a rubber stopper on it, and you put it in and you plunge it, and the pressure that's created inside there pushes the coffee through the paper, and it forms like a little puck of coffee, you know, of coffee grounds that's spent. And this high pressure, the high heat, and the special way that it's brewed through this paper filter makes the smoothest cup of coffee you've ever tasted in your life. Right? Pastor Joe, was it good? It was pretty amazing. It was awesome. okay? And so I get this thing, you know, I have Amazon Prime, so I can, like, get things, like, free two-day shipping, but if you pay, like, an extra $4, you get it, like, next day, so I'm like having this impulse thing, you know, and I love coffee, so I'm willing to make the sacrifice and pay the extra for the shipping. So I order this thing on Amazon, you know, it comes in the next day. I have my wife, like, bring it up to the office, okay, because it's that important, you know. We're trying to have a staff meeting. Pastor Joe is like, what are you doing? I'm like, I got to make coffee, you know, and so I'm like, and I got all these things. There's like six pieces to this thing, and I'm like reading the instructions and putting it together, you know, and go through this whole rigmarole, boiling water, and like I bring it in, you know, and it makes one cup of coffee after all this work. And Pastor Joe's like, that's too much work. That's not worth it. It's a sacrifice. I love coffee. I'm willing to make the sacrifice to grind the beans, to heat the water to the digital temperature, like right to, I'm willing to do this because I really and truly love coffee and enjoy making it. People say it's a lot of work for a cup of coffee, but I'm willing to make the effort to spend the time and money because I really love coffee. And you know, God loves you. God loves you. When we love something, we're willing to put time and energy, money, and sacrifice to prove it. Without that, there's no real love. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved you. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a huge sacrifice to have a relationship with you. That's an enormous sacrifice for God Almighty to lower himself, to humble himself, and put him on himself on earth. I mean, to humble himself all the way down to an embryo and be born into earth where he knew he was going to be spit on and beaten and rejected. To live that life and then be killed. That's love. There is no greater expression of love than what Jesus Christ did for you and me. And what God the Father did in sending his Son for us. That proves that he is love. The Bible says God is love. How do we know that? Because Jesus died for us. Romans 5:8. All right? What's Romans 5:8 say? Someone quote it. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, you knew it once I got you going, right? While we were still sinning, Jesus Christ came and died for our sins. That's love. Great love requires great sacrifice. And so salvation is kind of like a plea bargain. Okay, have you ever heard of a plea bargain? You know what that is. Anybody? Okay, like say Caitlin robbed the local Dairy Mart. Not that you really did that. You would never rob Dairy Mart. You're more of a Sheets girl, right? So Caitlin robs Dairy Mart, you know, and they catch her and they take her in and they say, you know, well, here's the deal, okay? You could get 15 years for this armed robbery stuff, you know, but if you will plead guilty, then we will guarantee you'll only get 3 years and then like 5 years community service or whatever like that, right? It's a plea bargain. It's kind of the same thing with God. God says, you plead guilty and I will pay for your sin. You plead guilty and I will pay for your sin. You confess that you're a sinner and then I will pay for your sin. And that's what God does because he loves us. You plead guilty and I will do your time because I love you. Great love requires great sacrifice. You know, at the intro I talked about, you know, watching war movies and thinking of the veterans who have died for my freedom and gone before us. And I thought, do I have what it takes to sacrifice for my country or my family? Do I have great love for them? Is really the question. Do I have great enough love for America that I would give my life for? Do I have great enough love for my kids and my wife that I would give my life for them? Here's the thing with projects. This saying, and then I'll use an illustration. I always say this, especially to Pastor Joe and other people. We get involved in this project and stuff, and I always say, it always takes longer than it does. It always takes longer than it does. And I can add on to that. It always takes longer than it does, it's harder than it is, and it costs more than it was. It always takes longer than it does, it's harder than it is, and it costs more than it was. Illustration, my wife, has been planting seeds of wickedness in the hearts of my children. You know how? She's been showing them pictures of puppy dogs. Oh, look at this cute puppy dog. Isn't that nice? Wouldn't you like a doggy someday? Isn't that nice? And I'm sitting in my chair, you know, on my iPad. I'm like, what are you doing? We're not getting no stinking dog. I'm not getting a dog. Oh, isn't that nice? Jake, wouldn't you like a dog? And Jake's like 2-year-old. I know what a bouncing baby boy is because Jake, everywhere he walks, he's like this. And he's like, puppy, puppy, puppy. And then he sees like a picture of two puppies. And he's like, two puppies. I want two puppies. You know, and I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, and it ticks me off. And she's talking to our kids about a puppy dog, you know, and she says, well, wait, maybe when we get a house, we can get a pet, you know. And we've had this conversation before, and I have set the rule, there will be no pets. No pets allowed, right? Because there's a reason, all right? The second you let one of them mangy, we'll take care of it. We'll take care of it. We'll all take care of it. We'll all pitch in together, right? Garbage. It is garbage, okay? It is garbage. 30 years later, you're going to have a dog that can't walk, can't see, got cancer all up in him, and then you're out there in the morning while he's trying to pee, you know, and like, where's your kids now, huh? It's garbage. Garbage. And that's what happens. It always takes longer than it does. It's harder than it is, and it costs more than it was. You're spending through the nose for this dog, and then like everybody wants to save it so it doesn't die, so then you're getting surgery for it and everything else. It's just... it's a racket. It's a racket. I learned this as a young age. I got a rabbit for a pet. I thought it was going to be really cool. It was small. It was cute. This white little rabbit. This is awesome. I'm going to train it and everything. And then it turned into a giant rabbit that would claw your freaking face off if you got near it. You know? It was ginormous. It was huge. And all it did was eat and make a whole lot of rabbit pellets. They're not raisins. And just buckets and buckets and buckets. And I've had to spend like half a Saturday, you know, cleaning it out and cleaning it. And never again will I own a pet. Okay? I told my wife, I'm like, you need to get your eyes checked. She said, what are you talking about? I said, let me draw your attention to my lower region here. Do you notice my foot? Would you say it is in an up or a downward position? Well, it's in a downward position. So in your opinion, your expert opinion, you would say I have put my foot down. And about this time, I duck, right? Because I'm going to get knocked out. But seriously, I don't want a dog because I know it's going to get all this work. And you know, they'll probably win someday, but I can try. But, you know, here's the thing. Church is not a pet project. Church is not a pet project. And I think a lot of times we treat our Christianity, we treat our faith like a pet. Oh, it's so cool. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to get involved, and God's going to use me, and we're going to see lives change, and it's going to be wonderful, and we're going to sing songs, and it just, it's going to be so great. And then we get into it, and we're shoveling poop up to our knees, and this is hard. This is hard. I don't want to do this anymore. This is really difficult. These people are not kind. These people have problems and messes. I'm not done. Church is not a pet project that you can try out. Your Christianity is not a pet project that you can try out. Here at Calvary, we have prayed specifically, Pastor Joe and I, that God would send us broken people. We said, Lord, we want broken people because we know our city is full of broken people who have no hope outside of Jesus Christ. They have zero hope of any kind of life worth living now, and certainly not in the ever after without Jesus Christ. We say we want to be an oasis for those people. We want Calvary Baptist Church to be a place for the broken. And then God has answered our prayer. He has sent us broken people. We're all here tonight, right? Because all of us are broken. But he has sent us people with messy lives and messy problems and all kinds of stuff going on. And I want to ask you, what would it look like? What would it look like If every member of this church would make great sacrifices to show the love of God. If every single one of us, not just the ones that have been here a long time, not just the ones involved in this program or that program, what if every single one of us would say, I'm willing to make great sacrifices to show God's great love to the broken people. I am willing to make great sacrifices to show great love to God's people that he has sent us. What would it look like? What would it do to Uniontown? I believe that it would transform Uniontown if our church would make great sacrifices to show great love. It would transform Uniontown. It would change our city. I'm going to ask you guys this. What would happen if tomorrow morning we drove up the driveway and there was just a grassy hill? What would be the story in the newspaper, aside from aliens like stole Calvary Baptist Church? What would be the story in the newspaper? Would there be a public outcry because CBC is shut down? Because Calvary is no longer doing what it was in the community? Would there be such an empty void of God's just blessing his spirit in this community and in this place? Just a massive hole removed from the community that people, just, there was a public outcry. Why in the world? Why is that church not there? We need that church. That will only happen if we make great sacrifices. If we make great sacrifices. Let's all stand together tonight. I'm going to ask you to just bow your head and close your eyes and provide privacy for you and the others around you. I want to ask you, do you know the love of God? Do you personally know the love of God tonight? He is so excited to touch your heart, to give you a fresh start. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you've never asked him into your heart, then tonight is your night. There's no better time than now to open up your heart to Jesus. Family, Calvary, church, those who know Jesus Christ, Christians, those of you who have already invited Jesus in your heart, he wants to touch your heart too. He absolutely wants to touch your heart too tonight. He wants you to feel the greatest love of the Father tonight. I don't know what your background was. I don't know what kind of father-daughter, father-son relationship you had. That causes all kind of pain and hurt in our lives. But tonight, God the Father wants you to feel his love tonight. His sacrifice was for you. It was absolutely for you. And tonight the Father is calling. He is pleading with you that you would trust him. He wishes that you would just trust him. He will never ask you to do something that's going to harm you and that's going to be farther just outside of his will and that's going to take you away from where you need to be as a person. And God has said, great love requires great sacrifice, and you should show love like I showed love. That is his command. That is what Jesus has called us to do. And God Almighty, he's saying, if you would just trust me and do this thing, if you would be willing to make sacrifices to show your wife that you love her, if you'd be willing to make sacrifices to show your husband that you love him, if you'd be willing to make sacrifices to show your kids that you love them and to show your parents that you love him, if you would be willing to make sacrifices, great sacrifices that are painful, that are uncomfortable, to show our community that God loves them, that you love them, that he will do something radical in your heart. I truly believe that. He wants you to know him deeper. God is love, and the greatest love requires the greatest sacrifice, and your greatest relationship with God is still ahead. But you only get there through great sacrifices. So tonight, do you trust him? In just a few moments, I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer. And if tonight you want to ask Jesus Christ into your heart, just raise your hand with me right now. Just slip up your hand. Say, I want Jesus in my heart. I want to ask Jesus in my heart. Tonight is my night. I'm going to go ahead and do that. Anyone? Thank you. What about you, Christian? Will you commit to making great sacrifices to love the broken people that God has sent us? Will you make a commitment tonight to make great sacrifices to love the broken people that God has sent us? I'm going to ask you tonight too. You're like, well, I'm already saved, so I'm off the hook. Now tonight I want to ask you, I want you to make a public statement and say, just by raising your hand, say, I'm willing. I'm going to trust God and make great sacrifices. If you're not ready to do that, then don't do it, because the scripture says, don't make a vow before God that you're not willing to keep. But if you're with me tonight and you're saying, you know what, I see this is what Jesus said to do and I want to do it. If you're willing to do that, then just slip up your hand tonight and say, I trust God. I want to make great sacrifices. Wow, hands all over the place. Thank you. That's awesome. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear God, Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, each one of us has failed. We've made mistakes. We don't deserve your love, Lord, but you continually pursue us and seek after us. Lord, I pray that we would be willing to take a step of faith, to be obedient to the scripture, to make sacrifices, whatever that looks like, Lord. You've laid on each person's heart tonight. I believe you have. You've shown them clearly what I'm talking about. God, I pray that we would be willing to do that. Lord, bless us. Bless our church. Bless our town. I pray that your name would be great in this place, Lord, because of our faithfulness to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Every week we have a time where we take up the offering. And we do that for a reason. We do that because we believe that God wants us to be faithful to give. It's in the scripture that we should give of our money, our time, our talents. And so tonight, if you're prepared to do that, if you're prepared to make that a part of your worship, we have a plate in the back. We have two plates on the side, and I encourage you to do that and make that a part of your worship tonight. After we're done, we're going to sing one more song, and then we're going to have a time in the back where we'll get together and have some munchies and something to drink. And I encourage you to stick around at least long enough to have one meaningful conversation. At least long enough to pull someone aside and get into a meaningful conversation about what you heard tonight. Talk about what that means in your life. Share it with someone. Make it real. Make yourself accountable. All right. Let's go ahead and close by singing The Saving One.
What mercy was revealed, what selflessness and peace. My faith was surely sealed until he rescued me. His pardon for my sin, his bounty for my need. From slavery and shame I am redeemed. And heaven can't contain the glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love is made a way, the grave is overcome. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. No fear can hold me down, no darkness steal my joy. The blood has been poured out, the enemy destroyed. Death could not hold him down, the cross was not enough to steal away his life. For he is God.
Heaven can't.
contain the glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love is made a way, the grave is overcome. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. And anyone who calls upon his name, they will be saved. They will be saved. And anyone who calls upon his name, they will be saved. Is the Christ, the saving one. His love is made a way, the grave is overcome. 'Cause Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. And heaven can't contain the glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love has made a way, the grave is overcome. 'Cause Jesus is the Christ, the saving one.
Right, thank you. You are dismissed. We'll see you in the back.